Sound of Football podcast. I'm Graeme Sibley, and as usual, I'm joined by Jan Bilton.
Hello.
And Terry DeFellon.
Hello.
Well, what a great couple of weeks of football it's been.
What a great couple of weeks is football has been.
Now, okay, before we get off to the start, we do have to apologise to the listeners, because listeners may have got the impression from something I think Terry probably said, that we were going to record a podcast in Berlin. And I think that was the way it went, didn't it, Jan?
I think from memory it wasn't Terry.
No?
I think it might have been you, actually.
Oh, was it me? Well, okay. Well,
optimistically suggesting that we would be recording a podcast in Berlin.
Yeah, well, outside broadcasts are problematic things, and you know, try as we might, the gremlins took hold, and we were unable.
They'd have to be beer gremlins, because, I mean, it's my equipment, and there was nothing wrong with my equipment, Governor. It was simply the beer gremlins. Yeah. We got wankered.
We did. It was us and a few chums. We were in Berlin. Yeah. We were just having far too good a time,
yeah,
weren't we?
Yeah, to break it up and record a podcast. Yeah. And we'd have been very drunk, and it wouldn't have been much fun.
No. Not fun for you. It might have been fun for us.
It would have been fun for us.
You would have found it moderate fun. Yeah. You wouldn't have found it fun editing it. God, we're really, really caned in this one.
So we thought it'd best not to. So we thought, okay, we'll give them a week off. Yeah, it's the tail end of the season anyway. A lot of people have already checked out football anyway.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, some of them are on this podcast.
Some of them are wondering about the snooker result, yes. About how the snooker's going right now.
Shall I pretend it over or do it right?
Yeah, I would like to see it, but no, it's fine.
There's been so much that's gone on. There are lots of promotion and relegation stuff. Playoffs are all being decided now. The playoff in non-league football are already kicking off. Dulwich Hamlet got promoted just about an hour or so before we came into to this. And after the season they've had, that's pretty impressive, isn't it?
It's amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. I mean, just to show you. Homeless, but still good. But getting thousands of people turning up for their games.
3,500 people turned up for their finals today.
Wow.
3,500 people for a
seventh tier football match. Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do like football over here in England.
Yeah, we love it.
Let it be said that we don't. No. England is a true hotbed of football.
Yeah, hard luck on Hendon, because they'd had a great season as well. Mm-hmm. But obviously, you know, the narrative was all behind Dulwich, and it took a penalty shootout in the end.
Did it?
Yes, it did. Mm-hmm. Yes, in the sweltering bank holiday heat.
Wow.
We saw some great football when we were in Berlin, didn't we?
We did. We went to see
a decent enough game, wasn't it?
Like, yeah. it got better.
Yeah, last 20 minutes bit was good. Came yeah, it ended up 2-2, and you sort of think 2-2, that's the best result for a neutral football match, isn't it?
It was good. I mean, Hertha were sloppy and slow. Large parts of the game.
They were playing in their flip-flops, weren't they?
They really were. And Augsburg made them look, pretty good.
Yeah.
But yeah, it finished up 2-2 in the end. It was quite an entertaining end to the occasion.
Yeah, that wasn't too bad. And then on the evening, we were having a nice meal in an Italian restaurant, weren't we? And we saw the Derby d'Italia, didn't we? We saw Juve Inter, didn't we?
That's right.
And that was a cracking
game. That was a cracking game. That was all about Napoli,
That was all about Napoli.
That was all about Napoli blowing the title. Yeah. Not about necessarily about Inter or Juve.
No.
Yeah, that was, so well, I'm sure the listeners know, we finished 3-2, and Juve had a man sent off and still managed to win the game.
Yeah. And then Napoli just Napoli'd it,
didn't just
they?
Like Napoli'd up completely.
Yeah.
The next day. Yeah. And that's it. Juve are the champions.
I think we all know how it's going to go. And last night, of course, we had El Clasico, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Now, that was a cracking
game.
Considering that there was ostensibly nothing to play for in that game, because Barcelona are already the champions.
Yep.
Now, that ended 2-2, and that was a much more exciting 2-2 draw than the one we saw in Berlin last week.
Yes, yeah. It's had two cracking goals, one by Gareth Bale and another by Leo Messi. In fact, actually, Ronaldo's goal was a cracker as well. It was more of a team goal. The others were sort of like more individuals.
Yeah.
Absolute belter.
Suarez got the other goal?
Suarez got the other, and that was actually, in fairness, it was four cracking goals. It's just that two of them were particularly more cracking than the other two. Yeah, and it was tasty as well. There was handbags and everything.
Didn't Real refuse to give them the Guard of Honour? And didn't Piqué have to get the staff out to do it for them? I didn't see the game, I was at a wedding, but I heard that's what happened.
There was some controversy about it because it was felt that there should have been a guard of honour from the Real players. But the thing is that when Real won the Club World Cup recently, Barcelona refused to give them a guard of honour because they had the Clásico was the next game afterwards. And that's kind of rankled ever since.
Right.
And in fairness, Barcelona had sealed the title and had played a game before this one, who did give them a guard of honour. So right, I think okay. the feeling was, well, you know, you've already had your guard of honour, mate, and we're not going to get... But yeah, it's all part of the fun and games that is you know, a modern Clásico.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Barca, you know, one more game after this, and if they avoid defeat, they will have an invincible season. So I'm sure Real would have very much enjoyed depriving them of that honour. And that hasn't been done since Real back in... when it was an 18-team league back in the dim and distant past. So, you know, the La Liga can be quite one-sided or two-sided, shall we say, or weighted towards two teams. But, yeah, I mean, that doesn't happen very often. So it's a mighty achievement if Barca can pull it off next week.
Mm. Indeed. And they already hold the record for the longest unbeaten run in La Liga.
Right.
So it's just records are just tumbling for
tumbling.
Them.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we may not be able to see any more records in La Liga tumbling.
No.
On our TV setups in the UK,
hmm.
Because there was some important news this week that Sky was losing their rights to La Liga, and they've held on to those for what, an age. I can't actually remember when they didn't actually have the
rights. I think
right
it's 20 years
of
hopeful.
Almost as long as Arsene Wenger's been manager of Arsenal, I should think.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, they've held those rights for a great deal of time. So, yeah, it's a big shift for those of us who have pay TV and watch football on pay TV.
Mm. Now, you've been watching quite a bit of La Liga this year, haven't you?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, I eschewed Spanish football for much the same reasons that you've said in the past, Jan, about... You know, I've found it a little bit, you know, a bit too weighted towards the same two teams and, you know, and not terribly interesting. So I restricted my Spanish football to the Clásico and watching Real Madrid and Barcelona in the Champions League. But because we've been doing this box set thingy and been previewing games, I've sort of taken it upon myself to try and learn a little bit more about the league and the players and the other teams and whatnot. And I started listening to I mentioned it before, John Driscoll and Terry Gibson's La Liga podcast, which they do for Sky, which is part of Sky's coverage. And I started to watch considerably more games this season. So this is the first season I get into La Liga. It's going off to another service. So which is a bit of a shame. But I've been really, really enjoying it. It's cracking entertainment.
Yeah, now they've been bought up by a company called 11 Sports.
Yes.
Now, I have to admit, I hadn't heard of them
neither had I
before this week. But obviously, we've all been doing some reading up on them and trying to find out what they're going to be doing with it. Because obviously, we're all used to streaming platforms now for watching TV shows and films. And now we may have to start getting used to it for watching sports. I mean, we've probably got listeners from around the world who are already used to listening to watching stuff streaming legally rather than just streaming illegally, football content. So, but that's something that we might have to get used to if we want to see certain matches in future over here. And obviously, once you've got one league that's doing it, then we could find lots more are doing it as well.
Well, it could happen this year because the Serie A rights are also up. They are currently in the UK with their company BT Sport, but those rights are up at the end of this season. So it's possible that 11 Sports are ready to swoop for those rights as well. We're not 100% certain what they plan to do with the rights, but it looks very much from what they're saying that they plan on launching the service in the UK and showing those games. But there is the possibility, of course, that they could sub-license them to other channels or some of them to other channels. But my impression is that that's not what they're going to do. But we don't know for absolute certainty, 100%.
What we do know, Jan, is the fact that Sky have now got some gaps in their schedules at the weekend. For a company that really does depend on a lot of football content to show, they've now got to have a couple of slots that won't have any football in because they've got nothing else to fill them with. The only things they've got now, other than the British football, Scotland, Scottish football, the Premier League, the Championship and the EFL, all they'll have is now MLS and
Eredivisie.
which are not necessarily going to bring in the punters, are they?
No, no.
I mean, probably MLS probably does it a little bit more than the Dutch league. But it's interesting, isn't it? Because they had everything to start with, didn't they?
Yeah.
And then they kind of a few years ago they lost the Bundesliga to BT Sport. Now this has gone, and as well as that, they had a monopoly on Premier League games. Back in the day, and then obviously, there were a few other companies that came along, but BT are the current kind of number two, I suppose, broadcaster on that. So it is eroding their market share. The thing is about, I always was thinking about this on the way up here, that you know, competition in this space is supposed to be good for the consumer, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I haven't seen my bills go down.
No.
My bills have just gone up.
Yeah, they keep going up.
So, it cost me more to get Sky and BT than it did just having Sky on its own. And I'd imagine I probably won't pay for the La Liga, but, that could be at least another, 10, 20 quid. And then, you're talking probably paying as much just for football content as you would for a Sky subscription, for example.
That's the basis of these extra leagues, though, isn't it? People don't buy their Sky subscription because it's got La Liga. I mean, some people do. Some people really enjoy it. So yeah. some people have a vested interest in there. But the majority of the time, these leagues are added just to give you a bit more added value. Say, like, oh, look, it's 7:45 on a Sunday night. Here's some football for you.
Yeah.
Here's Leganes versus Levante. So you might think, and if you're desperate to watch football, why not? Yeah. I mean, what's on the other side? Antiques Roadshow. Come on, let's face it. What are you going to watch? So those are the sort of things that help you when they're saying, oh, actually, by the way, we put another £1 on your monthly subscription. Mm. You don't mind, do you? Look, you've got El Clasico coming up next month. And it sort of softens the blow a bit. But next season, you're not going to have that, are you? It's just going to be basically what they're going to say. They're going to say, oh, right, okay, well, if you stick around a bit, at 10 o'clock we've got Seattle Seahawks versus Dallas.
Seattle Sounders.
Yeah.
Versus FC Dallas.
NFL, come on, it'll be even better.
Oh, NFL, yes, I thought you meant MLS.
But let's face it, it could.
The interesting thing about the whole thing about the prices not going up.
Yeah.
And the whole thing about BT sort of like coming in is because the European Commission said you can't sell your Premier League rights to one broadcaster.
Mm.
You have to create, because it's anti-competitive,
mm.
you have to create, to give it at least a certain number of games have to be sold to another company.
Mm.
So, but the upshot of it is all that's happened is that if you want all of the games, you have to pay two companies, which obviously costs you more money.
Yeah.
So, although you can understand why they made that decision, actually it's,
It hasn't worked in this market.
It hasn't worked in this market.
No.
Yeah. The spiralling cost of Premier League TV rights in this country has probably caused this to happen. So Sky, who probably can afford to keep La Liga if they want to, but have made a decision not to, I don't think they pay too much for it.
18 million was the price tag that was being banded around.
Yeah, compared to billions
that
they pay for the Premier League.
Well, exactly.
They've got to make cuts somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, that's equivalent to two games, I think, of the Premier League. So it's not even a full weekend of their Premier League.
Yeah, and that gives you an indication as to how little the interest there is in the league.
Mm.
And a lot of people, if you go on Twitter and you follow the right people, then you'll think, wow, the Liga is huge in the UK.
Yeah, in our bubble, it's massive.
But actually, it totally isn't. And the last time they renewed the rights, they scaled back massively on the coverage for La Liga. They ditched Revista. Well, now it's basically a half an hour show. With just a highlight show. They used to have a really lavish sort of magazine show, which lasted an hour and a half, and now all that's gone, and they've replaced it with a podcast, which is a very good podcast. I've mentioned it a couple of times on this show, La Liga Weekly, which will be going, unfortunately, I'm sure, at the end of the season. And it's an indication as to just how much they've done away with all the studio shows, so all the coverage of the games now is just the guys in the commentary booth somewhere in Isleworth or middle or somewhere, wherever Sky do their remote commentating. And that's it. So it's just voiceover. There's no studio show, nothing, and they've really cut back on it, which does suggest to me that look, when somebody else came in competing, they went, you know what, guys, you can have this. So when they say they lost La Liga rights, it's more like they left it on the bus than actually lost out on it.
Yeah.
I don't think they were that. Yeah. I don't think they're that fussed. But it is, you're right, Jan, because it's absolutely all about the spiraling costs of the Premier League that's doing this. A close friend of mine works in sports broadcasting and has been told categorically from people at Sky that the situation is no longer sustainable and they can't keep spending about the money that they're currently spending because they're not making any money or they're barely making enough money. And that really genuinely isn't the idea. The idea is for them to make tons of money.
Yeah.
And that just isn't happening. So something has to change.
Mm.
And so transferring the niche leagues in the UK over to independent streaming platforms, or at least independent for the time being, is part of that change. And then I'm sure we'll see other changes that, you know, maybe don't involve football, but will mean that we're paying lots and lots of money for Sky Sports, but actually we might be seeing less and less rights, less and less actual sport.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's impossible for us to speculate what's actually going on as business decisions in these big companies, because one, we don't know what 11 Sport are actually going to do with these.
No,
they could have just end up reselling them back to someone.
Yeah,
at some preferential rate. Yeah. We could end up seeing the Clasico on BBC.
That would be amazing.
Mm. ITV might get hold of it.
Oh, that's... God, that's all not.
Hey, come on. ITV will say, Guillaume Balague, we have a job.
Well, I mean, it might be a part of 11 Sports' marketing strategy to perhaps give away one of these games, maybe give away one of the Clasicos to a free-to-air broadcaster in exchange for, you know, airtime.
Mm.
For advertising airtime and marketing airtime. They could sponsor the airtime for that. So give it to, say, Channel 4. Say, do you want El Clasico? And we'll give you that one. We'll sponsor the return. You give us favourable rates on sponsoring airtime. Or you allow us basically to sponsor the airtime for free. So you get this great game and we get to plug our service to your viewers.
Mm.
And that might be something that they might consider doing.
Many people now have got either a Fire Stick or a Chromecast. People subscribe to Netflix or have got Amazon Prime, so they're used to receiving TV now. They probably watch more TV now than or through streaming platforms than they do off a set-top box.
Mm.
I don't know what your viewing habits are like, but I would probably say I'm getting close to 50-50 now.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I was to take football out of the equation, it maybe start tipping over more into streaming platforms.
If I didn't have football...
Yeah.
That all I'd be paying is $7.99 a month from my Netflix.
Yeah.
I think, and I'm certain the missus is at that point now, is saying it's only your bloody football is why we're paying all this money.
Yeah, I have exactly the same conversations in my house.
If it was up to me, we'd have $7.99 for Netflix and that'd be that.
Yeah.
So, and we also got Amazon Prime as well, which is a bit more money.
Yeah.
But really small by comparison.
Yeah. But when you compare all the other telly...
Yeah.
When you compare how much you're actually spending on Sky and how much you can get Netflix,
it's entirely disproportionate.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I do watch a lot of it.
Yeah.
So it does, but
yeah,
because it's there. If the Bundesliga, when the Bundesliga goes off BT, that would be a domino and setting off the dominoes that would result in me cancelling BT, cancelling Sky, because then financially it works out for me to do all of that.
Yeah.
And then it would end up with me probably having the basic version package with Netflix, Amazon Prime, and maybe a bit of Now TV or what have you. And then I probably wouldn't even have Premier League football because I watch so little of it.
Mm.
Because, I watch Bundesliga. So if Bundesliga, when that contract comes up in 2021, if it goes on to 11 Sports or DAZN or whoever it happens to be at the time, that could be that.
Mm.
And, you know, I mean, that might actually be, in my individual case, that might be quite a good thing. It'll probably save me a bit of money.
But really, what does it mean for football, though? Because these packages, are what will they be giving, pumping that much money into the Premier League? Will Sky think, OK, we can't compete anymore?
Well, they've already started.
We can't compete with $7.99 a month.
They've already started, haven't they? Because they introduced 10 new channels. So they took their 6 channels that they had and divided them into 10, but into different categories. So you've got Sky Sports Premier League, Sky Sports Football, Sky Sports Golf, Cricket, and so on.
Mm. Ostensibly so you could choose what sports you liked.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And then you pay individually for those.
I've got F1. I don't remember the last time I watched a Formula 1 race.
You probably need to have a look at your package and maybe downgrade.
Yeah, because I am the stupid bloke who just doesn't bother.
I think they've got it structured in such a way that if you were to remove one of those, it probably, like I said, I don't want F1 because I just watching cars drive around just bores the shit out of me. And I said, yeah, I don't want that. Why would I want that? And they went, oh yeah, we can take that off for you. Does it make a difference to the cost? Well, not if you want this and you want this. So like they bundle it in with cricket, and you kind of go, well, watch a bit of cricket. So
occasionally watch some cricket.
So it's I mean, I don't know if they do bundle in with the cricket, but you take my point. They're tied into other things. That's how you get to
because they've got, I think one of the channels is Arena, I think, which is the boxing. I can't be fagged with boxing. It's rubbish.
Boxing, rugby league.
But also they've got the darts on that one. It becomes the darts channel, doesn't it? You just say, but I like the darts. It's not Christmas without darts, is it?
Yeah, exactly. They do find a way of getting around it. But those days are genuinely numbered, I think. I don't know what the future's going to look like.
No one knows, but
as I said, I mean, I don't believe, I think they are reconciled to the fact that it's changing. And finally, people in the UK are going, this is bobbins, I'm not paying this much. Because in other countries, you know, you just get laughed out with that kind of thing. In Germany and France, they pay far less. Because the French public are like, no. Yeah. You know, and the Irish public as well. I mean, Norway they pay nothing for TV.
Yeah,
she's like, why would we pay for this? And they are they live in Norway. They spend a lot of time indoors.
Think about it though. If Sky were to get to the point where they felt that it was no longer compete, or it wasn't cost effective or whatever, and they lost the Premier League, or let's say they scaled it down to the number of games that BT Sport does, for example, that would be almost the end of Sky. Because the majority of the cost that I pay every month is for the sport.
Yeah.
The chucking, I mean, movies was the big thing that when they first launched. Yeah. You know, that all these, you know, it gets you faster than it gets to Blockbuster, and that shows how long ago it was since they launched. But now it's like, if you wanted to take the film channels out, it's like £8 or £10. It's nothing. So the majority of the cost is in sport, and therefore you're only really buying Sky for the sport.
Yeah.
So I think that
I can't imagine anyone who'd have Sky and not have the football. I just can't.
I'm sure there are plenty of people who have Sky and don't have football. It's just that we're in our world, you know, we don't know any of those people. But I mean, they commission huge amounts of drama these days. I think they're pivoting to non-sport. They're moving away from sport. I think they know what's coming better than we do.
Yeah,
and they're going, we need to change.
Well, £1 in every four that Sky make goes to the Premier League. That's not including any other of their sports they've got.
Yeah.
£1 in four.
Yeah.
So really, look at that bill you've got there. The quarter of that is going straight to the Premier League.
Well, I mean, the Premier League is evil.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's taking revenue away from other sports.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
That could probably do with some of that money. Yeah. Would only need a fraction of it to actually be able to set up.
Other sports that Sky own are doing to try and make themselves more attractive.
Yes, well, look at cricket. They're a laughing stock.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a fine sport, which is watched by many, many, many people.
Yeah.
You know, but it just doesn't know how to attract its attention.
Yeah.
I mean, it has to just bend over and show its bum all the time.
Yeah.
To Sky and say, ooh.
Create new anything. Different formats.
Constantly. Yeah.
It's that 100 balls thing we talked about the other day.
Yeah. I mean, like, this is what, how many, you've got 100 balls, 100 balls. Now, if you're from America, we'll have to do a quick explanation here. The number of balls you get I can't explain this.
I mean, it's basically cricket is divided into overs of six balls.
Yes.
And this format does away with all of that, and it just says it's 100 balls per innings.
Well, it's 15 overs of six balls, and then one big over at the end of 10 balls.
Just stupid.
This is just so that make themselves more attractive to punters watching the telly. Well, that's what they believe. Well, actually, the real reason that a lot of people watch cricket is the fact that it isn't fast and it isn't furious, and that you get to kind of it, you know, soak up the sport and kind of, you know, watch it all happening.
Yeah.
And there's little flashes of wonderfulness. But the reality is it's not supposed to be like smashing it out of the park the whole time.
Yeah. I think, and the real reason why they're not getting the money from Sky is because Sky are spending it on the Premier League.
Mm.
It's not because your sport's rubbish. No. It's because the Premier League is greedy.
Mm.
Yeah. And Sky have to go...
They have
to go to other sports and say, you need to make yours a lot better. You need to be able to get more bums on seats. You need to fill up your stadium.
Yeah.
This is another thing that they've got a problem with, because they need it to be entertaining. Mm. And when they're showing county championship match and there's like five men and a dog watching it, people are going to watch it and go, why the hell should I sit on my sofa in my underpants watching this? When only five people can be bothered to turn up to watch it.
Yeah.
Notwithstanding the fact that you couldn't even be bothered to put a pair of trousers on to watch it.
This point, Graham is talking to a mirror.
It's a lot cheaper than therapy. We've said before, I mean, like 10 years ago, Netflix was a company that was sending DVDs through the post to people, and you were saying about, you know, Sky Movies being better than Blockbusters. Mm. Blockbusters, for instance.
Yeah.
So we've seen how quickly things change with broadcasting. We've got a World Cup coming up. It's quite possible this could be the last one that we watch on the BBC and ITV in the way that we do now. Next one could be entirely different.
Well, the next one is locked down as well. So the one after that, so the BBC and ITV have renewed the rights for the next one as well.
But that might be a complete anachronism, by the way, in the way we watch TV.
Exactly, yeah. And what would be interesting, and I don't know whether or not we'll ever find out, even for this World Cup, is how many people watch the World Cup on mobile, on tablets, and on via the internet, basically.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, during the summertime, you know, you're out in the garden, you set up the old iPad, you've got your Wi-Fi extender out, away you go. Or, you know, you've got a handsome 4G deal with your mobile provider and you're out down the pub.
Yeah.
Or you're out and about and you're watching the game.
And you're watching it on iPlayer or the ITV Hub or all those sort of streaming platforms there.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, that will be the thing that they'll be looking at. And, I mean, that data is available to them, whether they make it public or not, but they'll know how many people will be using iPlayer and ITV Hub, you know, to watch the World Cup. And I would imagine it'll be very, very high, because they keep offering that service. I mean, you know, so there's obviously a demand for it. But it is also worth bearing in mind that there is a large desire to watch programmes, to watch television on television. A lot of people, there's been this shift. When catch-up TV first started and it was all on your web browser, the take-up was really, really big, and then it was really big when it moved over to mobile phones and to tablets and that. But actually, there's been a big shift with smart TVs and the apps that come with them for it to going back onto those apps. So those apps are really, really popular now on smart TVs, which demonstrates there is a desire for people to watch television programmes on television. So I wouldn't say that television is completely dead, but at all. But I mean, I wouldn't even say it's dying and then going to come back like vinyl has. It's got a role within there, but obviously it's going to be, you know, a TV screen means many different things now.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it'll just be another way of absorbing your whatever you choose to consume. Just like radio didn't die when TV came along.
No.
You know what I mean? People still listen to a lot of radio.
Very true. Especially football as well.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a preferred way of consuming football for some people.
Yeah, well, I think, sometimes it's a lot better, I think.
Yeah.
But I love listening to football on the radio.
Yeah, I think it's
to it enough, to be honest with you. I really enjoy it. I tend to pay attention a lot more to what's going on.
Yeah, well, we have to big up audio formats on this podcast. Sure, really.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Audio formats rock.
Yeah, yeah. Check out our YouTube channel. No, don't check out our YouTube channel.
I mentioned this when we talked about the TV rights for the Premier League last time. I read that in the latest round that Amazon were sniffing around quite a lot, and ultimately, you know, they didn't do anything with their bid. But I think that ultimately that the fact that this is going to stream is going to be probably the first to do it, and I think that ultimately one of the big internet companies will come along with a big bid, because, you know, 4 or 5 billion quid is nothing to these guys. You know,
no.
they're huge, whereas it's a hell of a lot of money to Sky. And I think that we could see it moving over to one of those guys, and they'd probably, you know, charge you pittance to watch the Premier League on Amazon Prime, for example. You know, you pay £70 a year, yeah, next day delivery, and you get, you know, all these films. You do have to pay for the content, and I think it'll just be a little bump up on your on your bill, and it certainly won't be hundreds of pounds or £100 a month as it is now with Sky.
Yeah,
it's been suggested that some of these streaming platforms are basically fattening themselves up to be bought by existing large over-the-top providers such as Netflix and Amazon Prime and perhaps Hulu if they ever launch here in the UK. And it's been speculated that that's the business model for these companies. It's not actually to make money from subscriptions. It's to provide, set up the infrastructure and get all the rights in place. Mm. So that means it's possible that one of these firms might go in for one of those rights for the Premier League. Mm. Maybe even this summer that could happen. Mm. I would speculate not. I don't think 11 Sports will necessarily go for the Premier League rights because I think it would be very expensive.
Yeah, probably too much for them.
And the way that company is, its relationships with other agents suggest that it's not something that they will be looking at doing. But it's quite possible that they could do it. Mm. And there's another firm in Germany called D-Zone, I can never quite remember what it's called. And there's a lot of speculation that eventually they will make an entry into the UK market. Yeah, 11 and D-Zone are quite well known on the continent of Europe, whereas in the UK they've not got involved, presumably because Sky and BT have got it all sort of like sewn up. But they're waiting for that opportunity. And I think that that's the entry for Amazon and Netflix. Mm. If they're going to go into it, they won't buy the rights themselves. They'll buy the company that already has the rights. And I think that's what these guys are thinking is going to happen next.
Mm. Well, this is obviously the easiest way to do it, because you needed a company like BT Sport to be able to go up against Sky on the same platform.
Mm.
I mean, Premier Sports is over here, but that's nothing, is it? What have they got? They've got
like Belgian League and
National League
stuff. Yeah.
So, but they can't compete. So anywhere near them. But these ones are offering a different something else. They're offering a different way of watching football. So this is the way that they're really going to undermine Sky. And this is really important because this is going to have a big effect on the Premier League.
Yes. Yes, if you're wondering why we're talking about this, the reason for that is because obviously the Premier League relies hugely on its TV revenue from the UK, and internationally as well.
Yeah.
It makes mass stacks of money internationally.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, the single source of huge amounts of money comes from the UK TV market. So if that gets disrupted in any way, then yeah, that'll have consequences for Premier League and for your team and for their spending power.
Yeah. And if that money suddenly dries up.
Yeah, if it starts to shrink, then yeah, they'll have to start cutting their costs. And the transfer fees might start going down, you know, in an age where they tend to be going up. So, yeah. But the only thing to think about there is this stuff that's happening elsewhere as well. So it's not just in the UK that it'll happen. It'll happen on the continent in Europe in a way, but they're just a bit further down the line than we are. But I think that the Premier League is so reliant on its TV money, it won't welcome these kind of disruptions.
Of course, it is up to them who they sell the rights to. So, you know, it's probably in their best interest to keep it with someone like Sky, because, you know, they're willing to pay for it, and they've got their users out there. But to give it away to a streaming platform, that is where the disruption's going to come in. So it might be in their best interest to stay away from that.
Yeah.
That's possible.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, they have relied a lot on Sky over the last few years as well, protecting their products as well by going after people who illegally stream their Premier League coverage, and trying to lock it down for each market. Mm. Now, those rules are changing as well, so you now should be able to buy coverage of whatever football league you want to from whatever country you can, as long as you're in the EU. Of course, British consumers won't have that.
Yeah, that's
option.
Not something that we have to think about in a couple of years' time, so... Mm.
As I say, we don't really know what's going to happen, but this is a useful discussion for us all to have when we're thinking about where football's going to be in 5 years' time. I mean, we like to think that the steamroller of football just keeps on getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Mm. but it might not.
Yeah, because there'll be implications. For American listeners who are watching it on, is it NBC in the US? Yeah. And they have a big deal there. I mean, there will be implications for that in terms of overseas rights as well. All of this stuff is important. And yeah, ultimately, yes, it is all money. And if you support a Premier League side, then this stuff is important if you want your team to sign the best players.
Yeah, and if someone like Netflix or Amazon comes in, they might just think, well, we're coming for global rights. We're not coming here for this market. We're going everywhere.
Yes, in which case then you're going to have to take out a Netflix subscription or an Amazon if you don't already. Whereas at the moment it's free in the United States. Yeah. I think, at least I'm pretty certain it's free in the United States. So.
Yeah. Well, it's up to me to tell you what's on TV this weekend, though.
Speaking of telly.
Yeah, speaking of telly.
Lovely link.
While we can still watch it on telly. But it's all going to be about the playoffs this weekend. We've got Derby Fulham on Friday night, which kicks off a brilliant weekend of playoff matches. There is the end of the Bundesliga. That's on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's no other football around on Saturday afternoon. You get to watch football in the UK. But yeah, long story, people outside of the UK. Yeah, don't worry about it. We just can't watch football live on telly at 3 o'clock in the afternoon here. We have to go to a football match. How inconvenient.
Who wants to do that?
Yeah. So I might go for Bundesliga. Then again, I might go for Lincoln versus Exeter in the playoffs, or the National League promotion final of Tranmere versus Boreham Wood.
Yeah, bad luck Sutton, by the way.
Bad luck Sutton. Bad luck Sutton, yeah. But yeah, if you want to see what I pick for this weekend's fixtures, get along to tinyletter.com/soundoffootball and subscribe. You can go even to sofpodcast.com and it's got a little link on there. You just put your email address in there, hit the button, and that's it. It will turn up in your inbox. There might not be many more after this one until next season, but
don't tell them that. Just subscribe.
Just subscribe. Yeah, it'll be a nice surprise in August when they start coming again.
Yeah, like all those things. Yeah.
But that's it for this week. We'll be back next time. We've only got a couple more, haven't we? Before we start really getting into the World Cup. World Cup is coming. It's been a glorious day here.
Yes.
And it just reminds you that summer's coming, and with it comes the World Cup. But from now, from me, Graham Sibley, from Jan Bilton, and from Terry Fuller, it's goodbye.
Goodbye.
You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter at Sound of Football, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
Story goes that the players walked into the dressing room at half time and found sitting on one of the treatment tables a huge pile of cash.